Hi, my name is Alexandra Snyder, and I'm the Executive Director of the Life Legal Defense Foundation. For those who are not familiar with us, we are a nonprofit pro-life law firm. Our mission is to protect vulnerable life, especially unborn children in the courtroom and the public square. We handle cases across the nation, and we have our base in Napa, California. And I want to talk to you about what is happening in our state, because California, for better and often for worse, is a harbinger of law and policy for the rest of the country. We are a state of 40 million people, which means that when California shakes, the rest of the nation will feel the aftershocks. Until this week, the entire state of California has been under a stay-at-home order. Sacramento County, where I live, and also where our governor, Gavin Newsom, has his home, has a population of 1.5 million people. So far, we've had about 1,200 total confirmed cases of COVID-19. And of those, thankfully, over 1,000 have recovered. Tragically, 56 people have died. Those numbers haven't changed much for over a month. Sacramento has the lowest number of COVID cases and deaths of any major metropolitan area in the country. But still, we are mostly shut down. In Southern California, the Director of Public Health, who is not a medical doctor but rather a former community activist, has said that Los Angeles County will be under a stay-at-home order through the end of July. LA County has a population of 10 million. If it were a state, it would be the 10th most populous. Nevertheless, Governor Newsom has said he will not allow the state to fully reopen until there is either a vaccine or immunity, by which I assume he means herd immunity. Herd immunity happens when enough people in a community have been exposed to the virus and have built up antibodies so people no longer get sick. You can't get herd immunity by staying in your home, which means apparently we have to wait for a vaccine. Right now, there are 8 vaccines in clinical trials. And all of them are derived from the cells of aborted babies, which means a lot of people, myself included, will have an ethical objection to being vaccinated. In the span of 2 months, Californians have lost nearly every freedom that is part of who we are as Americans. Many are no longer able to work as they have been deemed non-essential. We cannot assemble in groups of any size. Most importantly, we are no longer able to freely exercise our religion. Every church in California has been closed since March 19th. Target is open, Walmart is open, Home Depot is open, marijuana dispensaries and liquor stores are open. Even some casinos in California are now open, but churches are still closed. There is a movement by some churches to reopen on Pentecost Sunday, but right now they don't have permission from the state to do so. The U.S. Department of Justice this week issued an admonition to Governor Newsom that prohibiting churches from gathering raises serious civil rights concerns. In response, Newsom said California churches are still weeks away from being able to open their doors. President Trump on Friday said that churches are open, period. Still, our governor has not given the go-ahead for churches to offer live services. I've looked at most of the larger churches in my area, and it does not appear that any of them are planning to open their doors to the faithful this Sunday. Now, it was reasonable to keep people at home when we did not have the data, when we didn't know exactly what we were dealing with, and when we were watching thousands of people die in Italy and Spain and then New York City. It is still reasonable to encourage social distancing, even in churches, and especially for the vulnerable and elderly. What is not reasonable is locking down an entire state with no acknowledgement of the fact, the actual fact, that in nearly half the counties in California, less than a handful, and by that I mean fewer than 5 deaths from COVID-19 have been reported. Governor Newsom has said he believes this crisis is an opportunity to usher in what he calls a more progressive era. So, why is Life Legal, a pro-life law firm, talking about this? Because in California and elsewhere, life itself is at stake. The kind of progressive era envisioned by Governor Newsom, and for that matter his aunt, Nancy Pelosi, is not the quiet socialism of, say, Sweden or Germany. Sweden, by the way, never shut down its economy in the wake of the coronavirus. And Germany has been reopened, including many of its schools, for weeks now. No, they are trying to build something more for themselves and their posterity. More control, more government, more bureaucracy, more dependence. What they envision cannot rightly be called socialism at all. It is rank statism, a la China or Russia. In other words, it is tyranny. In places under that type of tyrannical rule, the state dictates all. When and where you can go to work. When and where you can gather together. When and where you can worship God. It is no accident that those are the places with the highest abortion rates. Those governments do not believe that human life has inherent value. You are simply a cog in the machine of the state, a means to an end. It's no accident that every church in California is closed, but every abortion clinic is permitted to be open. It's no accident that California lawmakers are pushing through a law to prohibit insurance companies from charging copays for abortions, essentially guaranteeing free abortions throughout the state, paid for, by the way, by higher premiums foisted on other insurance subscribers. It is no accident that they are trying to pass a law that will prohibit video recording inside and outside abortion clinics. And it's no accident that during this crisis, abortion rates are climbing. Reports from sidewalk counselors outside abortion clinics say the number of women who are going through with their decision to abort is skyrocketing. And we know that only because people are brave enough to stand outside abortion clinics in violation of shelter-in-place orders. Life Legal has represented numerous individuals over the past 2 months who have been warned and even criminally cited for daring to have a presence outside an abortion clinic in their community. We have pushed back, and in every case, we have been successful. We are working hard to ensure that sidewalks in California and across the country are open for constitutionally protected speech. We are challenging executive orders that deny pro-lifers the right to pray for women outside of abortion clinics and offer them information about the truth of what abortion really does and give them life-affirming alternatives. But the governor has not relented, and so he is breeding lawlessness. It is not only people of faith who are wrestling with this. California is supposed to be on a plan to open up manufacturing and other businesses at this time. But each of those businesses has to get specific approval from the state before it can open its doors. Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla Motors, submitted his plan to reopen, but it was denied. What did he do? He told his 10,000 employees to show up for work anyway. People are finding themselves having to decide whether they will obey the governor's order or whether they will obey their conscience. This is not new territory for Life Legal. For 30 years, we have been helping people navigate the moral and legal implications of civil disobedience. St. Augustine said, "A law that is not just is no law at all." Thomas Aquinas said, "A just law is one that is based in reason, not the will of the lawmaker." 700 years later, Martin Luther King Jr., writing from jail, said, "There are two types of laws, just and unjust. One has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws." That letter was written to a group of pastors in Alabama, to a church that perpetuated the lie that some human beings are not fully persons under the law. Dr. King went on to say we should not forget that everything Adolf Hitler did in Germany was legal. And directly to our point, he said, "If today I lived in a communist country where certain principles dear to the Christian faith are suppressed, I would openly advocate disobeying that country's anti-religious laws." Now, I'm not saying you should run out and violate your state's shelter-in-place or shelter-at-home order. I am saying, however, that this is the time to look at your obligations, especially your obligations to what is right and just and true, your obligations to God, and look at whether you are prohibited from doing those things, the things you should be doing. Of course, you also need to look at the COVID data in your county, in your state, and in your region. But then ask yourself, are the laws just? Are they grounded in reason? I realize not everyone who listens to this will be a person of faith or a person of prayer. But for those who are, we need to remember that we are obligated to pray for those in authority over us. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul urges that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. In his letter from a Birmingham jail, Martin Luther King talked about the early church, saying, "In those days, the church was not merely a thermometer that recorded the ideas and principles of popular opinion. It was a thermostat that transformed the mores of society. Let us pray that that happens again. Thank you so much for watching. Please, please be safe and know that as always, we are here for you if you need legal help. God bless you."